Genesis chapter 19. But our text would be that verse in Luke 17 and verse 32, where the Lord Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." There is not much that is written in the scriptures about Lot's wife. Just 15 words in the Old Testament, and just 3 words in the New Testament. But perhaps it's what is not said about this woman that speaks most powerfully to us about her. We seem to know more about her through the silence of Scripture, through what is not said, than anything the Holy Spirit had recorded with regard to this woman, Lot's wife. But what we do know is that the Lord wants us to remember her. He singles her out. When you think of what took place in the cities of the plain, when you think of what took place to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, where the Lord rained fire and brimstone upon those cities and wiped them out, the Lord did not say, "Remember the judgment of Sodom." He said, "No, remember Lot's wife." He did not say, "Remember the prayers of Abraham for Lot." No, he said, "Remember Lot's wife." He didn't say, "Remember the sin of the cities of the Sodom and Gomorrah." He said, "Remember Lot's wife." So he singles her out. And he wants us to remember this woman. But what is it that he wants us to remember about her? For I want you to notice something. That when the Lord Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife," who was he addressing? He was not addressing the Pharisees or the scribes or the priests or any of the Jews. He was addressing his own disciples. He was talking to his own people, his own followers. And he was saying to his disciples, "Remember Lot's wife." So there must have been something about Lot's wife that the Lord wanted his disciples to remember. And dear Christian, if the Lord addressed these words to his disciples, and they're recorded by the Holy Spirit in Scripture, these things are written for our learning. They're written for our benefit. And so the Lord is saying to us this morning, to you and me, "Remember Lot's wife." I want you to remember Lot's wife. Now our task this morning is to consider Lot's wife and to consider what it was the Lord wanted us to remember about her. There were things about Lot's wife that the Lord wanted his disciples to take note of and not to forget. There were lessons to be learned, snares to be avoided, and dangers to be made aware of by simply remembering Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife, the Savior said. So it would be a mistake. It would be a mistake if we didn't remember her. It would be to our loss if we did not consider this woman. Even though, as I've said at the outset, there's really not much to encourage us. But the Lord has told us, remember Lot's wife. And so that's what we want to consider this morning. Remembering this woman. And what is it then that the Lord wanted us to remember about her? Let us begin by considering what I have called the disappearance of Lot's wife. The disappearance of Lot's wife. considering the evidence of Scripture, it would appear that Lot and his wife did not have a very loving or close relationship. When the Lord gave a wife unto Adam, the Lord said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis 2 and verse 24. Now in the eyes of the Lord, Lot and his wife would have been seen as one flesh. But a closer examination of their lives, we have to confess, there does not appear to be very much of a oneness between them. Because when you look at Lot and you look at his wife, they didn't seem to have very much in common. Now some may think that I'm going a little too far in saying that there wasn't much of a oneness between Lot and his wife. But I can only look at the Scriptures and see what Scripture says and what it doesn't say with regard to Lot and his wife. I want you to note first of all, her disappearance from his company. Lot and his wife must have been married for quite a number of years. We say this because when they were exhorted to leave Sodom, they had a grown-up family. Look at verse 12 of Genesis 19. The angel said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. So he had grown-up sons and grown-up daughters. So they had been married for some time. Now we notice, with regard to this absence of Lot's wife being absent from Lot's company, we just look at the words of that verse 12. The angels did not mention Lot's wife to him. Do you notice that? In that verse 12 he says, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, he didn't say wife. She's not mentioned. There's her disappearance. Where is she? But he mentions son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters. And whatsoever, not whosoever, but whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Where's his wife? She's disappeared. Now I took time to look through from the first mention of Lot in chapter 11 of Genesis. That's where he's first mentioned. Right here to chapter 19. His name is mentioned 21 times. 21 times you have the name of Lot, but his wife is never mentioned in those 21 times. You talk about her disappearance. Where was Lot's wife? Is this why the Lord said, remember Lot's wife? Remember this woman. Now we read in the Scriptures about Adam and Eve. We read about Abraham and Sarah. We read about Joseph and Mary. We read about Aquila and Priscilla. But you never read about Lot and his wife. His wife is mentioned, but not until we get to chapter 19. And this is why I say there doesn't seem to be any kind of closeness between Lot and his wife. A man is mentioned, the husband is mentioned 21 times, and his wife is never mentioned. Does that not lead us to say there's something wrong here? There's something not right. With other couples, we have mentioned here, Joseph and Mary, Aquila and Priscilla, Abraham and Sarah, Adam and Eve. With these couples we have mentioned, there is a oneness, there is an appearance, at least, of oneness between them. They're mentioned together. But never Lot and his wife. For Lot and his wife, they don't seem to be in each other's company very often. She's absent. She's missing. She's disappeared from Lot's company. Indeed, after Lot's name being mentioned alone for 21 times, his wife is mentioned for the first time in verse 15, where we commenced our reading. Genesis 19, verse 15. And when the morning arose, when the angels hastened, Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife. That's the first time she's mentioned. From Genesis 11. Nor now in Genesis 19. That's the first time his wife is mentioned. Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Note carefully what the angel said to Lot. It's important. Arise, take thy wife and thy daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Which are here. If you have a Bible margin, look over into the margin and see how those words may also be rendered. Arise and take thy wife and thy daughters which are here, may also be rendered which are found. Which are found. Now remember what it said in verse 12. The angel said to Lot, hast thou any here besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? His wife wasn't there when the angels came at first. They never mentioned his wife. She wasn't there. She disappeared. But then when we get to verse 15, the angels say, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here. In other words, we have found them. We have found them. They disappeared, but we have found them. That's what the word means. So where was Lot's wife? Where was she all this time? I believe the answer is there in verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Why did she look back? In light of all that was said about what was going to take place in the city, why did she look back? Because that's where her heart lay. Her heart was there in the city. And the city was in her heart. She couldn't afford, she felt she couldn't afford to leave the city. She was so taken up with the city. That's where she had disappeared to. Hast thou any besides thy sons, thy sons-in-law and thy daughters? The angels didn't mention his wife because where was she? She must have been in the city. And you notice also what the angel said. He mentioned his wife and two daughters. They are here. In other words, by the way this woman lived, she was leading her daughters astray. Because the daughters must have been in the city with their mother. And you've only to read on through chapter 19 to the end to see the immoral nature of those two daughters and how they behaved. Where did they learn that? Well, we know that Sodom was an immoral place. It was a wicked place. their wickedness had come up before God. And there was Lot's wife. She wasn't there when the angels came and visited Lot. She wasn't there. And when the angels brought the family, or some of the family out, Lot's wife lingered behind. And she couldn't get her eyes off the city. She hated to leave it. So what do we have here? In the course of our study of these women that we've come across in the Word, we've considered some wonderful wives, wonderful women. A few weeks ago we considered Jezebel, a wicked woman, a wicked wife. What would we say about Lot's wife? She was a worldly wife. Not a wicked wife. Certainly not a wonderful wife. But she was a worldly wife. She loved the world. A wife who seemed to be more often in the company of the Sodomites than in the company of Lot himself. And this worldliness adversely affected the home, and as we've already pointed out, adversely affected the daughters. They were with her in this wicked city. And as I said, you can read through how they behaved. They behaved in a disgraceful way after they were brought out of the cities of the plain. So we have seen that Lot's wife was not often found in the company of her husband. Notice also her disappearance as his companion. Being Lot's wife means that she was to be his companion. They were to face their troubles together. They were to make their decisions together. They were one another's companion. They were to care for one another in sickness and in health. But Lot didn't seem to have such support of his companion. Consider the decision that once had to be made. Go back to chapter 13 of Genesis. Chapter 13, you recall, even as the Reverend McClung dealt with the subject when he was here a few weeks ago, that Abraham and Lot had to separate because a dispute arose between their herdsmen. And we read in verse 9, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself," Abraham says to Lot. "I pray thee from me, if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." Now, Lot had a decision to make. He had a decision. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere from before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou camest unto Zoar." Verse 11, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot chose him. Where's Lot's wife? Lot made the decision himself. It wasn't a joint decision. I know it wasn't a good decision that Lot made. It led to more trouble. When you consider Abraham, and there is such a tremendous contrast between the two men, as Reverend McClung pointed out, when you consider Abraham, the Lord told Abraham where he was to look. The Lord told Abraham where to look, but you find here that Lot didn't even consult the Lord where he should look. He viewed the land through his own eyes, not through the eyes of the Lord. And we all know the trouble that that brought Lot. But the point is this. It says, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. Verse 11, Lot chose him. Lot made the decision, but there's no mention of his wife. She's not there. Disappeared. And he made the decision himself. You go on a bit further. Chapter 14. Lot has been caught up in a battle between various kings, and he has been captured. And the word has been brought to Abraham, verse 13 of chapter 14. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abraham. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken, notice again, his wife is not mentioned. And when he heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. In verse 16, and he brought back all the goods, also brought again his brother Lot, still no mention of his wife, and his goods, and the woman also, and the people. The wife is mentioned. Now, what do we say there earlier on? When we have our companions, we face decisions together, we make the decisions together, and we face our troubles together. Well, here was Lot, and he was in trouble. He was a captive, he was a prisoner, he was in trouble. But it would appear that he had to face that trouble alone. Because Lot's wife isn't mentioned. And we said, sometimes the silences of Scripture speak louder than words. And then, consider the day that the heavenly visitors arrived at their home. Let's go over to chapter 18. And first of all, the heavenly visitors have come to Abraham and to Lot to warn them about judgment that was about to fall on the cities. Went to Abraham first, and that's where we will go. We'll go to Abraham's tent and see what happened there. We'll take time to read the opening few verses. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Abraham is addressing the Lord. He's addressing the Lord Jesus Christ. The other two that came with the Lord went on to meet with Lot. But the Lord tarried with Abraham. And it was the Lord that Abraham, you remember, came before, drew near and prayed and interceded for the cities of the plain. He stood before the Lord. The angels went on to Lot. But it says in verse 3, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Chapter 18, verse 3 and verse 4. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. Now look at verse 6. And Abraham hastened into his tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. There's Abraham's companion, Sarah. She's there. And Abraham goes to her and says, Make some bread. We're entertaining angels today. Now look at chapter 19. Here's Lot in his tent. Chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And not seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and he entered into his house, listen, and he made them a feast. He made them a feast. It doesn't say his wife made the feast. He made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Wasn't it just as well Lot was good in the kitchen and knew how to bake bread and make a meal? Abraham was able to go into his tent and ask Sarah to bake bread. Lot went into his house and he had to do it himself. Remember Lot's wife. As we have said, there doesn't seem to be much between the two of them. Why? Because Lot, we know from 2 Peter chapter 2, Lot was a just man. He was justified. He had a righteous soul, Peter tells us. But his wife, she loved the world. She loved the world. She couldn't let go of the world when the angels exhorted her to come out along with Lot and his family and his daughters. She looked behind her. She should have turned her back upon the world, but she couldn't do it. And she perished. The Lord said, remember Lot's wife. Remember the love that Lot's wife had for the world. Remember the love she had for the world and what that love for the world cost her. What did John say? 1 John 2 and verse 15. John said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him or in her. Mark those words. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the love of the Father, I'm afraid, was not in Lot's wife. We're just letting the Scripture speak to us. What was in the heart of Lot's wife? The world was in, and the love of the world was in her heart. The love of the Father should have been there. But it was the love of the world that was there. The love of the world was in her heart, and her heart was in the world. And it cost her dearly. It cost her her life. It cost her her soul. This love of the world. The Lord said, remember Lot's wife. Remember what it cost Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife, how she had this love for the world. And she couldn't let it go. And remember Lot's wife and what it cost her. No doubt the disciples were familiar with the story of Lot and his wife. The Lord didn't have to do much explaining. They were familiar with the story. They were familiar with the tragedy, because that's what it was. And you know something, it gets worse. The story gets worse. But the Lord said, remember Lot's wife. And dear Christian, let us not fall in love with the world. If we fall in love with the world, it will cost us. Somewhere or other. We should have our hearts filled with the love of Christ. The love of the Father. The love of God. We should love holy things, spiritual things, pure things. I'm afraid Lot's wife loved none of those things. Notice also his conversation. She disappeared from his conversation as well. When we examine Abraham and Sarah's relationship, we find Abraham often speaks about his wife and to his wife. Yet in all that is written about Lot and his wife, there's not one conversation recorded. In fact, there's not even one word recorded that Lot spoke to his wife or she spoke to him. Remember what we said at the beginning? That Lot and his wife didn't seem to have a very loving or caring relationship. You may have thought I went too far when I said that. But here's the evidence. It's all there. They didn't speak about the things of God. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. In the course of our study of the women in the Bible, we referred to these verses and to these words of Paul from time to time. And I don't believe it's any coincidence that when Paul here in Ephesians 5 is dealing with husband and wife and speaking about the marriage of the husband to the wife as a type of his marriage to the church, Christ is the bridegroom, we're his bride. But look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands and unto the Lord. Now here you have the words of verse 19 as a preface to what Paul's going to say about husband and wife. And here Paul is surely referring to not only Christians speaking to one another and conversing with one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in the heart in the name of Christ. But is he not referring to that communion and fellowship and conversation that goes on between husband and wife? That's what it leads into. So you can see the difficulty with Lot. He had a wife who loved the world. He was a man who loved the Lord. And they had nothing to talk about. And I know where there are those particular situations, it's difficult for the person who's saved, for the person who does love the Lord. We need to continue to pray for one another and pray that the person in the home who's not saved will be saved. I remember in my early days as a Christian, sitting in Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church in the wooden building as it was then, and looking around, and I would see children sitting with their parents, or their parents sitting with the children, some of them grown up children. And I longed for the day when my mother and father would be sitting beside me in the Lord's house. And there are many wives who long for that day too. And they long for the day whenever they will be able to converse with their spouse about the things of God. Lot wasn't able to do that, because Lot's wife loved the world. Lot loved the Lord, and never the twain would meet. And the Lord said, remember Lot's wife. Learn these lessons from Lot's wife. I'll just briefly deal with the next point, because our time is gone. Notice the disappearance of Lot's wife. We had the disappearance. You consider the disobedience. What did the angel say unto Lot and his wife? Verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Escape. Why, if somebody were to burst in through that door and say to us, you need to escape, the basement's on fire. Well, I don't think any of us would dilly-dally around. We'd be out through the doors, that one and this one. Well, we'd be told to escape. Hear the angels from heaven that come down and said to Lot and his wife and his family, escape. And to emphasize it, they had said, escape for thy life. Run for your life. Look not behind thee. That's the word. Look not behind thee. If an athlete is running in a race and he's running the 100 yards or the 100 meters and he starts to look around him, he's not going to win the race. He must head for the finish line without looking around. And the Lord, through the angels, was saying, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. You'll only delay if you look behind. Neither stay thou in all the plain. There's the word escape again. Twice over, Lot and his wife and family were told to escape. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And what do we read in verse 26? But his wife looked. The very thing she was told not to do. In the face of judgment, she was told not to look back, and that's the very thing she did. She lingered. Do you know something? I believe she lingered a long distance, a long way behind Lot. Because we're told that Lot entered into Zoar. Verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. So Lot had already reached the destination. But then you come down to verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him. She wasn't beside him. She was behind him. And I believe a long way behind him. Because Lot had already reached the city. And she was somewhere near the other city, the city of Sodom. And she looked back. That's her disobedience. That word looked. His wife looked back. It's the same word that is used by the Lord when he told Abraham to look up to the heavens and number the stars. Because the Lord told Abraham he would multiply his children as the stars of heaven. And he told Abraham, look up and number the stars. It's going to take you a while doing that. But the word means to look attentively, to look closely. And so this look of Lot's wife was no just backward glance. She stood and she looked back. And she looked attentively on the city that she loved and the life she was been asked to leave behind. She looked attentively on it. You just imagine her standing there, looking at the top of every building, looking down every street, seeing every house. Oh, and she's saying, how can I leave this? Well, she had to leave it. You know, the sad thing is, she fell between the two. She had no city and she had no husband. She perished when she became a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. Look not behind thee. We are to press on, the Lord says, looking unto Jesus. That's where we're to look. Looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's the look, that's all it took. That was all that it took. It was the look that doomed her. One reference, and with this I'll close this morning, we'll maybe return to Lot's wife again. You turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. And there in Proverbs 23, we read in verse 29, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look at verse 31. Look not. Same words that were given to Lot's wife. Look not behind thee. And here the Lord says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And my, through that look of Lot's wife, when she looked back, she was bitten like a serpent. She was stung like an adder. It cost her. You can go back further into the scriptures and you go to Genesis 3. And there's Adam and Eve and they are in the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil is there in the garden. And they were told that they could eat of any tree of the garden. But there was one tree they could not eat of. You know how the old serpent came in and said, yea, hath God said, cast doubt on the Lord's word? And we read then in verse 3, but the fruit of the tree, we may eat, this is Eve speaking, we may eat of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. There's the warning. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Look at verse 6. And when the woman saw, she looked. She would have been better not looking on the tree. She would have been better ignoring the tree. But it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And we all know how costly that look was. That look plunged the whole human race into sin. just a look. Look not thou upon the wine, for at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like a gnat. It's only a look. Lot's wife looked back, and it cost her. And Lot arrived at Zoar, the city of refuge, but his wife wasn't there. She wasn't there. And they would never meet again. How we need to pray for our loved ones, for those who are partners in life who are not saved. How we need to pray and lay hold upon God for them, because when their role is called up yonder, surely we want us all to be there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and gracious Father, we come before Thee in the Saviour's name, and Lord, we have sought as best we can, with Thy help, Lord, to deliver Thy word. And, O Lord, we have seen what worldliness did to this woman, and how worldliness destroyed the family. Help us, Lord, not to love the world, neither the things of the world. But, Lord, have us to have our minds and our thoughts and our hearts on the world to come, and to keep looking on to Jesus. Keep our eyes on Him. Not, Lord, on the sparkling trinkets that the world has, but to keep our eyes on Him who is the bright and the morning star. Keep our eyes on Him who is the Son of Righteousness. Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts today.